It is Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin dairy farmers have to get a prescription to get antibiotics for livestock. That's under a rule from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration that went into effect in June of last year.
The agency calls antimicrobial resistance a serious threat to animals and public health. Penicillin is one of several medically important antibiotics to now require a veterinary prescription. That and other antibiotics used to be available over the counter for livestock.
1 year after the FDA plan took effect, we're learning how Wisconsin veterinarians and livestock producers are handling the change and what it means for human health. Dr. John Garber is co-owner of Valley Veterinary Clinic, which is based near Green Bay. Dr. Garber provides medical services to farms in northeastern Wisconsin. Dr. Garber, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, now, so all medically necessary antibiotics for livestock need a prescription. This is from the FDA. This came into effect about a year ago. In practice, what did this mean for Wisconsin farmers?
Yeah, so just like you said, this did come into effect about a year ago. This was part of the FDA's overall plan for combating antibiotic resistance. What it meant for Wisconsin farmers, in particular, all livestock owners that would like to purchase and use a medically important antibiotic, would have to do that within the context of a valid veterinary client-patient relationship, something that's called a VCPR for short. And that basically means that the veterinarian needs to have knowledge of the animals and the premise where they're kept and needs to be responsible for making medical judgments about those animals. And if those conditions are met, then the animal livestock owner can purchase antibiotics and use those.
As a veterinarian who works with people who are raising dairy cattle here in the state, what did you think of this rule, this transition over time to saying, hey, these antibiotics should mostly be prescription?
Yeah, I think it was a good change for the industry, for the dairy industry, for livestock owners. A part of this would be that anybody that's using these antibiotics needs to have a relationship with a local veterinarian. And I think that's always a good thing for livestock owners to have that relationship so that if they need assistance or help or guidance, then they have that relationship already formed and ready to go when they need it, basically.
The transition happened over time. There are different steps along the way. Can you talk us a little bit of the history, through the history of how we tapered off non-prescription antibiotics for livestock?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. So, about 5 years ago, in September of 2018, the FDA released a plan. It was kind of a five-year plan at that time, supporting antimicrobial or antibiotic stewardship in veterinary settings. That plan was kind of driven by the concept that medically important antibiotics should only be used in animals when necessary for treatment, control, or prevention of disease. A couple of years later, in 2021, the FDA officially published a guidance for industry. It was number 263, which kind of outlined the process for animal drug manufacturers to change the marketing status of all medically important antibiotics from over-the-counter to prescription. And that meant that livestock owners could no longer go to a farm store, for example, and purchase medically important antibiotics without a prescription from a veterinarian who's providing oversight of that use in those animals.
Take us back to last year. As I understand it, there was a lot of advance warning. Was anybody in the field taken by surprise when this rule kicked into effect?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the majority of our business in my practice is commercial dairy farms. They're family owned and operated dairy farms in northeastern Wisconsin here. And for most of those clients, there was very little change in their day-to-day operations. We have a very well-established VCPR with most of those farms. And so we're making regular visits to those.
A VCPR, businesses. I'm sorry, what does that stand for?
That's the veterinary client-patient relationship.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks.
Yep, nope, that's a good clarifying question. So we have that in effect with all of these dairy clients that we have. The farms that were probably more caught off guard by this change would be the backyard or hobby producers or animal owners. For those individuals, that might have been more of a surprise. They were used to fairly limited veterinary involvement in the care of their animals and really would only call if they had a medical emergency, by and large. And so probably for some of those producers, getting that relationship set up with a local veterinarian would have been a change for them. And we, in the last year, we've done quite a number of those visits with those backyard hobby type animal owners. We've learned a lot about their animals and their premise, and we hope that they've gained a lot of information from us too.
Well, I'm hoping you can take us on a vet visit to a dairy farm. I'm familiar with a different kind of mammal. Me, I go to the doctor's office, I've got symptoms. Could be a virus, in which case antibiotics not going to do any good. Could be a bacteria. Great, antibiotics are going to help. What goes into assessing whether, in this case, we need to prescribe those antibiotics?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we, on these dairy farms where we have regular visits scheduled, those are called herd health visits. We're doing anything from working with farm employees and training them on how to detect and treat any animal that happens to get sick. We're doing reproductive exams and, of course, examining animals that are sick and might need medical attention, and then helping farm employees or farm owners make decisions about how to care for those animals. So that's for our routine dairy clients. For farms that we visit less frequently, those visits are more an introduction or a review from the previous visit of any changes that have been made, any questions, any change to animal health history on the farm, doing a walkthrough and an examination of the animals. And in that context, those visits, we're providing a lot of guidance and answering questions about the just basic care and husbandry of the animals. And if the owners do have health concerns, that we can try to address those at that time and then help them make decisions about how to care for those animals if the need should arise.
I want to talk about that smaller scale operation. You mentioned maybe the hobbyist who didn't have that longstanding relationship with a veterinarian. They could have, as needed, run to the farm store, pick up antibiotics. What do they need to do? What have they needed to do over this last year to build that relationship with a veterinarian so that, you know, when they do need that prescription, they can get it in a timely way?
Yeah, so prior to June of last year, 2023, a farm owner could go to a farm store and purchase a limited number of medically important antibiotics. And there were three primary categories of drugs: the penicillin, the tetracyclines, and the sulfa antibiotics that were available in that over-the-counter status. Since the June of 2023 and the change to making those antibiotics limited to prescription status, now if an animal owner would like to purchase and use those in his or her livestock, he does need to work with a veterinarian and have that relationship established, that VCPR established. And when the veterinarian and the owner of the animals establish that relationship, they can set out expectations for when an antibiotic might be needed, under what conditions, and then how that drug would be used. And then the owner can purchase that in the future if the medical need arises.
We're talking about livestock antibiotics a year after a federal rule kicked in saying certain livestock antibiotics, you need a veterinary prescription to get them. Our guest is Dr. John Garber, co-owner of Valley Veterinary Clinics near Green Bay. Dr. Garber, let's talk about the why behind this. You touched on this very briefly earlier. We're worried about antibiotic resistance. Why is this a public health concern?
Yeah, this has been a public health concern for quite some time. Various federal agencies and researchers have been tracking the growing resistance to our antimicrobial or antibiotic medications. And the basic idea here is that anytime we put selective pressure on bacteria when we use one of these drugs, there's the possibility that resistance could occur. And the more that these drugs are used, the more pressure we put on the populations of bacteria that are subjected to these medications, then the more chance that the resistance could occur.
You mentioned a few names earlier of medications, penicillin, tetracycline, the sulfa category of antibiotics. These are all things that get prescribed for humans. Is there a worry that if we're using those particular drugs a lot in cows, say, overusing them, that it might come to bite us where, hey, all of a sudden this infection we have, it's resistant to those medications?
Yeah, that's correct. There's been a good body of research looking at the effect of antibiotic resistance in animal or livestock populations and how that translates to the human side. And the concern is that they could certainly, if we have resistance in animal species, have some carryover resistance in the human population. It's not entirely well understood, all of that relationship, but it's viewed as a public health concern. And so the FDA and other agencies and researchers have taken that threat seriously and have been taking steps to prevent that public health problem from getting worse.
I know in humans, we have concerns about antibiotic resistant strains of some staph infections, I think some strep infections. Are there equivalents in the dairy cattle world?
Yeah, we see some evidence of resistance for some of the pathogens that we deal with. Respiratory pathogens, for example, have changed over time in their response to certain antibiotics that we may prescribe. So yes, we follow those same trends as they do on the human side.
And people may be listening if they've been following the issue for a while and saying, hey, wait, don't some livestock operations give antibiotics to livestock to promote growth? And I think the answer, correct me if I'm wrong, is they used to, but the FDA put a stop to that some time ago.
Yeah, that's correct. So these medically important antibiotics can only be used for three broad categories. Now, that would be for treatment, control, or prevention of disease. So the growth promotion is no longer a reasonable rationale for picking one of these medically important antibiotics.
Okay, so livestock operators, especially those ones without that relationship with a veterinarian, need a veterinarian now. Do they have access to it? Do we have enough veterinarians to go around? I know a number of human health services, we have shortages around the state. How about veterinarians?
That's a great question. So in certain parts of the state, especially in the parts of the state where there's a concentration of dairy farms, there are enough veterinarians, generally speaking, to serve those animal owners, those farm owners. But there are other parts of the state where that is not the case, and livestock owners may have a difficult time finding a veterinarian that they could establish a relationship with. The USDA has a program looking to support veterinarians moving and working in rural communities, and that's an important effort. In Wisconsin right now, there are 7 designated shortage areas, predominantly to the western and northern part of the state, where livestock owners could have a difficult time establishing a relationship with a veterinarian.
How about access to the medication themselves now? A general farm store can't just sell these over the counter. They need to be ready to fill prescriptions now. Has that been an obstacle for anybody?
Actually, I do believe that most of the farm stores, when this change was made, decided not to deal with trying to handle prescriptions. And so I don't believe any of our, at least in our community here, any of the farm stores are carrying these medications anymore. You would need to go through an animal pharmacy or a veterinarian to purchase them. With that being said, I don't believe that any of the products that switched from over-the-counter to prescription status a year ago have any major shortage issues at this time.
Are you looking to the FDA to maybe make more changes now in this evolving question about livestock and antibiotic use?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that I believe is positive about the change that was made last year is the proactive nature of this move. I think what we as veterinarians and as the owners of these livestock can appreciate that we're trying to preserve the use of these tools for the future. So if the use of the antibiotics that came under question here is more responsible and limited to only the uses where it's medically necessary, then those tools are more likely to be available to us in the future. But antibiotic resistance is considered an emerging public health threat. And if the FDA or some other federal agency believes that there's further need to protect public health, then I do believe that they will make further moves in the future to do that.
As you've been talking to your clients about this over the recent years, what kind of sense do you get from their reaction? Are they like, oh no, this is another hurdle, another obstacle, or do they see what you just said? This is something that's ensuring that, hey, we're going to have these useful tools into the future.
Majority of our commercial dairy farm owners and operators, I don't believe that they noticed much of a change in this at all. And that's mostly because they already had well-established relationship with our practice and our veterinarians. So I really don't think that there was too much of a change with this. I do very much think that farm owners appreciate preserving the idea of preserving these tools for the future should we need them. For some of the smaller, more hobby or backyard operations, you know, there was an added cost of establishing this relationship with a veterinarian. And I think once we got out to the farm and we could provide some value in terms of information and helping them make better decisions, I think that they understood more and appreciated the value of having that relationship set up in the future so that they could use it if they needed it. But there was some concern about why do we need to do this at the outset. But over the year, I think we were able to alleviate a lot of those concerns.
Before I let you go, I wanted to ask about another issue in cattle veterinary news around the country, this avian flu that showed up in some dairy cows around the country. Wisconsin just kind of watching for it right now. What's on your radar?
Yeah, that's my understanding as of today, that we're still just monitoring the situation. No confirmed cases to my knowledge in Wisconsin yet, but monitoring the situation in neighboring states, certainly.
We'll leave it there. Dr. Garber, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Dr. John Garber is co-owner of Valley Veterinary Clinic, which is based near Green Bay.
If you live here in Wisconsin, there's a good chance that you have a World Prize winning piece of graphic design in your wallet or purse right now.
As reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin just won a global prize for its Real ID driver's license.
The award goes to the State Department of Transportation for Best ID Card. The prize was announced last week by the International Card Manufacturers Association.
According to the group, Wisconsin's license was chosen from a pool of over 130 entries.
The state DOT says the license design won because of, quote, its incorporation of stunning and familiar imagery, including the Wisconsin State Capitol and state flag in a highly secure design.
Kate, I'm looking at my license right now. I could see it. It's a great design. Looks pretty cool. There's just one problem.
Well, what's that, Rob?
They've got this goofy looking fella staring back at me on the card. Couldn't they have left that guy out?
Well, maybe next time. But for now, congratulations to the state DOT.